Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the time zone. This is Rhonda Harrison, broadcasting from Red Feather Lakes, Colorado, up in the high northern Colorado mountains. And today we have two amazing guests, Holly Kelly and Gary Mitchell, and he will be coming on the second half of the show. And the first half of the show, I have a wonderful author, founder, entrepreneur figuring out how to help people get to the other side, how to do it more calmly. She's the founder of Later Life Planning Institute, the ultimate guidance for life's inevitable destiny. And she does individuals, groups, and businesses, consulting, seminars, workshops, guidance, and guest speaking. To learn more about her, visit www.laterlifeplanninginstitute.com. And she has a new book release that we're going to discuss today, Sunrises and Sunsets. And to learn more about how to get that copy and order it, you can go to www.sunrisesandsunsetsbook.com. And those links are on today's information. And she does do tribulations also to custom ufology authoring services. So you can learn more about that at tribulationstoremember.com. So with that, I'm going to bring Holly in. I've been really excited to talk to her because I've worked with crossing people over for about 25 years. And this always interests me how you got started in doing this and why you chose to help people learn how to adjust from life to death and that it's not as big as we want to make it and scary.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda. It's a pleasure to be on your show. So thank you for extending the invitation and allowing me to share this information with your audience and your listeners. Gerontology was an area of study for me, and I have always been extremely comfortable with older Americans. And so it was throughout my gerontological studies that I recognized how few people actually put planning into place. And I think that was the first spark, was writing papers and defining why it was so challenging for people to complete advanced directives and something that every adult should have in place, faced many roadblocks. So I decided for my capstone project to create a written work. Having been a lifelong writer, I felt that if I was writing something, I would be able to take it where I wanted to. So I decided that I would approach this issue and try to bridge the gap and define the disconnect. And one of many problems or barriers for people was the actual topic of death itself. And people are just not comfortable talking about death and dying and much less planning for it personally. And so while this is something that happens to every living organism on Earth, it is still something that is considered taboo, and people would prefer to ignore it. So that's how it began.
That's amazing that it started like that. You know, that it started out with you working with elderly adults, and I've done that too as well, in regards to, you know, I've worked with handicapped, mentally disabled, like in state home and training centers and that type of thing, and nursing homes where, you know, a lot of people, you know, die alone, you know, and I have always felt that they need that support to cross over, no matter, you know, what their background is, that they need that support to know it's okay to go there, and that, you know, they'll you know, rejoin their families or whatever, you know, or however it works out there. Maybe it's just their, you know, angels or whatever. But, you know, I think it's just really important that, you know, people realize, like you said, it's something we all get to do at least once in life.
Yes, and it's something, you know, that, well, it's a universal experience. We have to go it alone. So it's something that is the great unknown, and all unknowns are uncomfortable for us.
Yeah, we tend to want to know all the answers before we have the questions.
Yes.
And,
very true.
So in your book, I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. I'd love to look at it and have you on again so that I can be a little more connected with it. But, you know, it just really entices me how you do a ufology. And do you meet with this family? Do you meet with them online? Do you, you know, just get in connection with the spirit of the person?
Well, actually, the book is extremely unusual. It's a kind of a mashup of so many different incorporations, a collage of the incorporation of great information, useful information, workbook pages where the individual would respond according to, you know, their person. And it also has some poetry, and it's in full color. So the book is a journey that one embarks on either individually themselves. It's extremely easy to work your way through the book. Each page is a surprise. And I also have the Sunrises and Sunsets group workshops, where if somebody says, you know what, I want some hand-holding, I want to join a workshop, and then I know that at the end of the workshop, all of my planning is done and I didn't let other things interfere. And so there's also the Leader's Guide, where people can go on and access the Leader's Guide and buy that on my website, where they can use my template to lead their own groups. So there's a variety of ways to work your way through the book. But one thing is for sure, it is easy to do. It's not frightening. I worked very, very diligently to take the trepidation and fear out of this type of planning. And the title, the subtitle, Final Affairs, Forged with Flair, Finesse, and Functionality with a capital F-U-N, lets people know the spirit of the work and that they are in for something that is a different twist on the conversation of how to handle our unfinished business while preparing for the final journey. So while the book is as much about planning for the end, it is absolutely, in an epic way, about inspiring new beginnings and renewed enthusiasm towards the life we're living now.
Right. And to get more out of this life and make moments count and make memories. And not for us, but, you know, for, I mean, us individually, it does help us, but it helps those that we leave, I think, so that they can transition, you know, into that grief a little easier.
Yes, the book is as much a gift to the person that is completing it as it is a wonderful heirloom and written version of your legacy, and it has the capacity to restore healing and serve as your voice from the other side long after your departure. The book is kind of a legacy of you in written form.
And due to my own parents passing away, or my father and stepfather recently, and they had nothing ready, you know, there was no, you know, what do you do here, you know, there was a, like a brief, you know, do not resuscitate, but nothing else, you know, how do you want, you know, things to be, or what would you like to listen to in your last hours of life, or, you know, what would you like to smell one last time?
And it's so important that families not be in that precarious situation of having to try to guess. When in fact they're like, okay, if I do this, is it making them uncomfortable or is it soothing? Am I making the right decision about withholding food and hydrations? Am I doing the right thing here as far as what they wanted for their end-of-life wishes and after-death services? Did they want a cremation or a burial? And even simple things that the book helps you with, like an obituary where you write your
right.
own obituary. Some people don't know where somebody was born and what
or how
kind
to
of details
contact
they want.
The military for their military rights and their rights of honors, you know, that they have there. I mean, I had to figure out the
Very
that
true.
Thing for my dad, you know, and then he had a special cremation tomb there, but he had no one signed up to do a cremation for him because he very quickly was diagnosed with cancer in 2013, like within a week after being diagnosed. And, but we, you know, so I got to talk to him some, but once he went silent, you know, then I wasn't really able to communicate with him. And I didn't realize that he had nothing in print, you know, until like the day before he went silent. And then I started putting it all together, you know, but, and it's very stressful for the family to have to do all that if they have no knowledge. Luckily, I was a social worker and had worked with homeless people and cancer victims and, you know, different things like that. And so I had always assured them to do, you know, living wills and that type of thing. And, you know, and it saves people a lot of double questioning themselves, dubbing back, doubting themselves if they're making the right decision or not.
Oh, yes, because these decisions are being made in the worst frame of mind at the worst time when you're ridden with grief and bereavement and you're not your best. It's the last thing that someone needs to be doing. So it is in the book about veterans' burials and all different types, who you want to be contacted first, because I say our lives are just that. They are our lives. And so those around us may not know who you went to high school with and you've maintained some occasional contact with, and this person would only be known in your life through you. So the book gives you an opportunity to really convey everything, because not only would those folks want to know, they need to know for healing and
right.
Be able to mourn your passing. And so the book opens up your life for your survivors to have an action plan right away, and it's a blueprint for everything that you want.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it so nice, is that if you know how to, that it's, you know, okay, when to contact hospice, you know, that type of thing, you know, things like that, and how to get that all rolling and having it happen. Also, it's just, you know, it's important too, and that's for the survivors, so that they feel like they did do what they did want, you know. Or that they were at
and
home,
it is,
you know, instead of in the hospital, you know. And I really like that aspect.
And the time to do it is when people aren't in a crisis situation. That's actually the worst time. And you've experienced that. You're living proof of how challenging that was. And then your loved one became silent and wasn't able to convey that information to you. So it is so important. It's for adults of any age, any stage, and whether they have months or weeks left or years. And it also is the opportunity for you to define your life moving forward and insert some excitement and figure out all of those things that you always wanted to do that are yet to be fulfilled. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to incorporate new enthusiasm towards living. And I am hearing from so many people that say this book inspired them to live bigger and more meaningful than ever before. And so they didn't think that they would even want to embark on this journey and plan for the end. But in the end, when they were done, the peace and tranquility that they were able to realize allowed them to live a more well-orchestrated life in the aftermath. So it has a twofold effect on readers.
And listeners, if you want to call in and ask questions, make comments, please call in at 1-347-838-9142. I'm hearing that there is some problems with that number a little bit. So if you can't get through and you're online, you can just hit the Skype button by the RBR, you know, hit the Skype button and then hit the plus sign when the Skype starts to dial and connects you. Hit the plus button and it'll bring up, if you want, the dial pad. And on the dial pad, press 1. The other thing is you can re-download, you can revisit this two-hour segment today by going online to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford. And in the archives, it will show up about 10 minutes after the show, and you can download it. you can suggest it to people that are maybe going through the situation, and gives them an idea of a book that they can get a hold of and a person that they can talk to, and that type of thing. So please pass it around. I know that it's a hard subject, but it's something that, you know, helps all of us in the end. I think I've watched people with it and without it, and I see that families take on things easier if they know what's planned and what's expected of them.
Yes, very true. And you've had personal experience with that, and it's not something you want to be involved in the learning curve of. I've never heard anybody say, "Oh, I'm so disappointed, so-and-so planned." You always hear people praise them and admire their loved one when things were in order and things were planned. It just really takes so much away from an already challenging and sad loss. So to be able to put the planning in place while you're healthy and of sound mind is just a beautiful thing for you to do for yourself and those you love.
Yeah, and you know, and it's interesting how many people we're seeing that have passed away recently that are pretty well known, you know, and they're known for being, you know, connected, you know, and letting people know what their plans were. Some were a little more reserved, you know, but it's showing me that, you know, I don't know if you experience this, but the vibration changes in the last 3 or 4 months, and, you know, like everything's building up, and that space is being opening, you know, with those that are passing, you know, so that other people can start coming in with that new information that's coming out, you know, from the divine. And I don't know how much you work with that when you do the eulogies or that type of thing. How does that work?
Well, typically the eulogy writing that I do, I craft personalized memorial services and funeral services for people. And I'm most enjoying that when it is a fun occasion, and that I'm working with the person live and well, right with me, and we're laughing together, and we're talking and having discussions about how they want their final celebration of life to be, and how they want it to go, and whom they want to speak, and assigning roles to people for that day, and to incorporate special and meaningful elements of their life. I call this final farewell, funeral, celebration of life, going home party, whatever you use as to define it, as your last play in production. It's your last orchestration, your final event, and I want people to have their fingerprint all over that. So I do enjoy it, especially when I'm working with someone that's alive and well, because there's a lot of giggling and kind of like you're keeping a secret, and you're like, okay, I really don't know if I'm going to be here or not, because, you know, my mortal life will have ceased to exist as I know it, so who knows how it goes after that. But this is really going to be funny when this happens, and they're in my funeral, and they see I've got this planned for them. So I love that. Wow. I love being part of that. It's extremely enriching for me personally and professionally and as a human being. But I also have the opportunities that I'm asked to officiate for someone that has passed. And obviously there's trauma involved in that. And it's certainly a different spirit of which we're working, and under different sets of emotions. And in that situation, I almost feel compelled to do two things, to honor in every way possible with all of the skill of writing and speaking and articulation that I could possibly muster to honor this person's beautiful life. And the second goal for me is to ensure that in doing so, I'm able to instill some form of healing or hope with the family members and the people that love this person and lost them. So it is so important for me to be able to accomplish both things, to let them feel good about the celebration and give them an opportunity through that to recognize that while their life has changed, death ends a life, not a relationship, and inspire them to move forward in goodwill towards the person that they've lost and loved.
That sounds so so nice to be able to have that to fall back on, because I know even with my mom's husband, you know, it was difficult, you know, and luckily I've been through it enough that it made it easier, you know, because they're pretty shocking in the beginning, you know, where you just don't know, you're not picking up on everything and not knowing what, you know, and then you question yourself later, and it's like, I think it's really good that you've written an instruction manual, so to speak, on things to do and how to approach it so that it doesn't have that negative connotation, but more of a solid, you know, wow, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is a life elevating experience, but you know, it encourages you to have, you know, your engaged life as well. And so I think it is important, and it gives you an opportunity to share things with families that if you never did, it would literally be lost with your life. And so the book has the venue for you to share family traditions, people in your family that may be notable, or people's health history for your great-grandfather or your great-great-grandfather, which with medical advancements is so important today. And that can be so useful for those born after us. And so the book is what I consider as a gerontologist, and what I have designed and developed to be comprehensive advanced care planning. It forges the legal and technical with the emotional and personal, and that's what this book was aimed to do.
And it sounds like it's doing it very well and very nicely, to a point that it makes it really solid and good for the individual, so that they feel that they're connected to their family before they leave, and then also after they leave, you know, so that they have some type of, how would you say it, you know, like a heritage or a, you know, something they want to do to change in their family culture, you know, for it to be more fun than so sad in such way,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be laughing and having balloons released or butterflies or something, you know.
Yes, and those are raised in the book, all of the different ways that you can celebrate, and there's some creative ideas, there's some more reserved ideas, and in the end, you've conveyed a lot of information in and including in the All About Me section, which is, what are your thoughts on the afterlife? If you believe in the afterlife, who do you hope is waiting on the other side to greet you? And so your family kind of takes this book after your passing, even in the state of bereavement, and flips through the pages. And I assure each and every reader that in doing so, that smiles will be born and tears will be shed and meaningful, wholesome love of the person that completing it will absolutely fill that individual and enrich their life and make them missing not so bad, because they'll feel like you're still here. So it is kind of a way to stay present in the lives of your family after you've left. So I love how this book continues to serve those long after your departure. And that was one of my goals as well in writing the book, is making it as meaningful for the family as it was for the completer of it.
Yeah, and you have like the Chinese road there, the wall in the Orient on your website, and it is kind of like that. It's like, what am I doing? Where am I going? I can't see over this high ledge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this puts like those little viewpoints, you know, where you can stop and look. Hey, okay, this is where I'm headed, and this is what I'm doing, and this is where I'm coming from, you know. And,
it is. It's a blueprint, a breadcrumb trail, if you will, mm-hmm. As to what you desire and what you were about and what mattered to you.
Uh-oh. And just what is, you know. And I see that you do speaking engagements, that type of stuff. Do you do that in, like at senior centers, hospices, nursing homes?
Yes, I speak at a variety of venues. I will be speaking in an academic setting in a couple of weeks. And I speak at social groups, civic groups, bereavement settings, and so it really has a variety as to, you know, what I'm able to talk about, and depending on where I'm at is the tone of which we take, and the subject matter. I have a, you know, variety of different topics that I would address, and so people go in and pick their topic and decide which is most suitable for them. And so I enjoy being able to help people through that platform. And I think the website that you're referring to with the wall there is the Ladder Life Planning Institute.
Right.
And so I have that website. And then, of course, there's the Sunrises and Sunsets book. And either place you'll be able to find a lot of information about resources and what is available for people even thinking about planning, or those that it's become a very relevant matter due to maybe a recent health diagnosis or something like that. So if they visit the website, they'll be able to access some pretty helpful resources that are available there.
And then can you talk more about what your gerontology newsletter is about and how often that comes out?
The gerontology newsletter is a newsletter that I create. It's biannual. I don't want to, it's a society of so much information, I don't want to overburden people.
Right.
And so it's twice a year. And if people subscribe, of course, they're subscribing to the gerontology newsletter. And it is going to address some information that's related to dynamic aging, and maybe perhaps some new information that I've discovered or something that I feel is relevant to be shared regarding end-of-life care or different types of burials, just interesting information. It's not a long newsletter. I usually include just a story that I've written that is just for enjoyment, and it may not even be related to the field of gerontology. And so, and for listeners that don't know, gerontology is such a misunderstood field, but it is someone that engages in the study of aging and problems of the aged. So there's people that come to this field from so many different backgrounds. I think that's part of what makes that discipline challenging for people to try to understand. So as a gerontologist, I really do work hard to make the aging process fun. There's people that are going through retirement, and when I have those folks in front of me, they may not be ready to retire or think that they are. And so that's some of the consulting work that I do, is getting people ready or making the most out of retirement. When your work has defined you your entire life, and that has been what has been the forefront of your life and lend meaning to your personal self, when you no longer do that, a lot of people think, well, what a day to celebrate. Are you kidding? I don't have to go to work anymore. This is great. But often for some people, it creates a void. And that void can lead to some depression in people because they no longer know how to find meaning and to be excited and to be engaged in something. So I work with people in that arena too, to help them make that conversion from being a person that has always worked professionally and now they need to figure out what's next. So I enjoy what I do because it definitely helps people on the second side of life make it just as amazing, if not better, than the first half.
Yeah, and it's very nice that, you know, because it puts it more where they can spend time together rather than trying to throw everything together at the last minute and in that panic. You know, it just makes it, I don't know. I just highly suggest what you do. I mean, I can't tell you from a better standpoint than having to do it, you know, especially for parents. You know, it was quite difficult. It was like, you know, how do you know what they really want, and, you know, and that type of thing. You know, I mean, we did talk about a few things with my dad, but then with my stepfather, it was very sudden. You know, we weren't anticipating that he was going to die or anything. He had a really bad fall, and he never came out of it. And, you know, so it's very interesting. You know, and I had just mentioned to my mom the week before, I said, maybe you should have a discussion with him, you know, about if he how he feels about the dying process. And then he died within a week. I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just do?
Oh my goodness. But, I know.
You know,
it comes up a lot. Like, people say, why don't people want to talk about death? Are they scared it's contagious? Like, if we mention it, it will happen. And nothing's further from the truth. But if you mention it, talk about it, it's kind of, at first, the conversation is, it just sits there very heavy. And then the dialogue begins and the burden is lifted and people recognize that it's like so many other things in life. It was the anxiety leading up to it that was the most challenging part. In my book, you know, I talk about the kick the bucket list and resolving things. But I say it's an apology, for example, is easy. It's two words. It's I'm sorry. And of course, we'd like you to mean it when you say that. But
you're right.
It's so simple. And yet leading up to an apology, people experience so many things. What will the other person think? Mm-hmm. You know, what about my own ego? And, you know, how are is this going to make it better? Is this going to smooth it over? It's so much goes into it when literally it's two words. I'm sorry. With heartfelt meaning. And so I think that the death conversation is very much like so many other things in that you just have to begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where that's at, you know. At this point.
Yes.
You know, just you got to just kind of go with it, you know, and just see how it goes. But I'm going to need to take I'm going to break for just a minute. We're at the 30-minute mark, and if callers want to call in, please call in at 1-347-838-9142, or you can go online through the Skype link and then push the plus sign and the dial pad and then push 1 on the dial pad to be seen in the back office so that I know that you have a question or a comment that you would like to have addressed. Because you guys, you know, if you're going through this situation, you know, this is huge. And before we go to break, can you go on ahead and tell them your contact information and that type of stuff and how to get a hold of you and if you have any Facebook pages or anything?
They can go to www.sunrisesandsunsetsbook.com. That's a plural on the sunrises and sunsets and an A-N-D in the middle. And once they're there, they can order autographed copies. The book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as well. And from that website, you can like our Facebook page, too.
Okay, so let's take about a 1 to 2 minute break. Everyone, if you need some water or a cup of tea or coffee, grab it for the next half of the show. And we'll be coming back with, you know, more things to look at and how to approach the person you're with and how to get over that uncomfortableness, I think, sometimes, you know, is important, or, you know, incorporating essential oils. And we'll talk more about that after the break, so enjoy the music and grab yourself something to drink, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Okay, and we're back with the second half of the show. Sorry about that little break that kind of got people trying to do work at my house in another part of the town stuff. So it's been an interesting morning. But and that can go on during this whole process. You know, you never know. It's kind of like live radio. You just kind of wait and see what shows up sometimes. But do you have any other, you know, things that, I mean, I know for some people that I work with, they like a ritual or they like, you know, understanding, you know, what the passage could be like. Do you ever do anything like that, or do people suggest it in their tribulations? And I mean, not tribulations, but in their living will.
I think that I say this in the book and in my professional consulting, the most important part of how you want things to unfold, certainly we can put things in writing, and I've had people share with me someone that they knew that was the most recent conversation was a lady that an individual had come to know. She was in her 90s, I believe 94, and she had a do not resuscitate in place because she said, I've lived my life, and her belief systems were, when it's your time, it's your time. And so somehow how things unfolded, she did need to be resuscitated, or, you know, that's exactly what ended up happening despite her desires in writing otherwise. And so the medical team just kind of went into what they do, which is life-saving procedures, and the do not resuscitate was not available. And she was somebody that more than likely had put these documents in place at home and shared them with her family member and maybe even her primary care physician. She was probably admitted to the hospital, and the hospital had them. And it's so often that there's a series of care environments, and there's so much to think about, and there's so much commotion surrounding that. So you could leave the hospital and go to a nursing home. You could leave the nursing home and go to a hospice. And with all of these transitions, often these forms are not where they need to be in the proper hands. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people the most important thing that you can do to convey your wishes is to absolutely keep it current with your existing care providers, because you have to remember to do that because it changes. And to share your wishes with your family members so that they know and that they're not surprised and they're not infighting and getting upset with each other. That's the worst thing. I mean, when somebody is in their final hours, they want people to come together with loving support in camaraderie and to somehow come closer. And what often happens when things are not planned is just the opposite, and families are fighting. Oh, she would have wanted this. No, she told me she never wanted that. Well, no, she wants this. And then they're angry with the person that actually is the named individual to express these wishes and implement them on that individual's behalf. And so families honestly can end up never speaking again. And I've seen that in my profession so many times where it's just over when somebody dies. And that the person that passed, all they wanted was everybody to stay close. That was their wish. And they didn't want their death to be the family divide. And so the way that you make sure that doesn't happen is to, whatever your beliefs are about the afterlife and how you want to go, what type of ceremonies are important to you, what is meaningful at the end, do you want a clergy or someone, a minister to come in and pray with you, do you just want family by your side? Some people, believe it or not, want to be left alone because they don't want somebody there. They don't want to pass with their loved one there, and probably that is more about the other person than themselves. They're thinking, I don't want to put them through that. So there's so many different ways, and it is important that people convey that
You know, and I know too that, you know, check into hospice and stuff like that earlier in it before later, just so that you can look at the paperwork and kind of get an understanding of the steps of grief and how that works and why you're having all these fly by the seat of your pants for feelings and emotions, you know. You know, just so that you can be grounded and kind of have contact with them before, you know, you actually need them, so that you kind of know their system and what to do, I think is very helpful.
I think being prepared in everything that we do in life is so important, and this is the area, among others, that people really don't want to prepare for, and yet it is of epic proportion, that of importance for people to do. So, you know, I think that it's something that is personally valuable and is going to make the journey different for you.
Yeah. That just doesn't make, you know, it just makes it so much easier all the way around. It's kind of like a big deep breath, you know, and just letting it go. And again, callers, if you, and people online, you can, and listeners, call in to 1-347-838-9142. Press 1 once and I'll be able to see you in the back office. If you're online, go to the Skype button. It'll connect you into the back. And then you press the 1 key on the dial pad above the plus sign, and you can come in and be seen in the back to ask your questions or comments. And I don't think it can be started too soon for some things. That, you know, like, who are the Pirate's Attorney? Did someone's phone number change? You know, even if you're doing a living will, you know, keep the phone numbers intact, because it seems like people change your phone numbers more these days than they used to. And, you know, keeping that up to date so that when they have it at the hospital, they know exactly who to contact first.
And I think we see this in the news, you know, it, and maybe we think it's not going to touch us. And everybody is probably familiar, I'm sure your listeners know, the name Terry Schiavo or Schiavo, in her end-of-life 15-year legal struggle from 1990 to 2005, where she was in a persistent vegetative state with the husband, a legal guardian, arguing that she didn't want to prolong artificial life support, and the parents arguing to continue artificial nutrition and hydration. So this went all the way to state and federal politicians, all the way up to, at the time, President George W. Bush. So it is, you think of Karen Ann Quinlan and her right to die controversy. So while those are, you know, highly publicized situations, this happens in epic proportions all across the globe every single day. And so while we know about those, you certainly don't want your individual family to not have all of the answers when they're needed.
Right. You know, and I just think it makes it just a lot more breathable, attainable, okay, you know, that to know what's coming at you, you know.
Yeah, and when you do it people, ahead of time, it's not sad.
Yeah. Exactly. And with more people choosing to die at home, too, I think that, you know, they really have to understand that there is help out there, and they will come in and watch over your loved one so you can get away for a little bit. I mean, it's not a life sentence, you know. You need to still go out and try to do some things that you need to do for yourself. You know, personal care during that time, I think, is really important for caregivers.
Oh, yeah, and respite care is invaluable.
Yeah.
Because we see statistics all of the time that show us that the caregiver, whom is, you know, just so invested in providing care for a loved one, is the next one to fall victim to medical issues. And so it is so important that if you are a caregiver that you access the different opportunities to receive respite care. Give yourself permission to catch your breath and clear your mind, and allow yourself the ability to do that, because if you're not whole and healthy, you're not going to be able to continue on that important job that you value and that you feel integral in. And so I agree with you, Rhonda. Respite care is something that a lot of people feel guilty about, and they're scared that if they leave, something will happen, or will this respite care provider be able to, you know, do they know the specifics, or do they know enough, or what if something happens when I'm gone, you know,
right.
the guilt that would surround that, but it's just so important that that happen so that you stay healthy as the caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because you just never know, you know. It's like, okay, this isn't good.
Yeah, and you have to think about if you did become ill or exhausted or, you know, suffer from a breakdown or go so long that, you know, you're not paying attention because you're overtired and you have a fall. Now both of you need care. And I've seen that happen. And so it is so important that we take care of ourselves along the way of caring for others that we love.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to end the show early. I've got like a major thing happening at my house that I can't deal with and keep having people text me. So, you know, I'm sorry, listeners, we're going to cut it a little short. It's to be, still be another show coming up at the top of the hour. You know, it's just going to be a little in between again. It's kind of like running home from an iPad or something.
Fine. No, I feel that we've conveyed the spirit of the book. And
yeah,
I
think so too.
Appreciate
and
the opportunity.
People will really understand. So I'm going to let you go, and I will play some music for all of you in the interim, some mantra music, and see, you know, how that goes. And then I'll be back on at the top of the hour with Gary Mitchell from Canada.
Okay.
Thank you very
much. Best of luck
to
you, and thank you again.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.